today, this morning, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 14 through 22. In the sermon today, we're going to focus in on especially one verse, but we'll also look at some others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning of verse number 14, the Bible says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless your word this morning. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I would say what you would have me to say, not what I want to say, but I pray that you would speak in my stead. I pray that you would speak to every heart individually. It really matters little what I want to say or what I do say when your Holy Spirit is involved in speaking to the hearts of the people. So I pray that you would do your work, Lord, and we invite you into this place to do that. We guide and direct us now. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. We're continuing our series on a grateful heart, blessed beyond measure, focusing in on our thankfulness, and we'll wrap this up next week after Thanksgiving. And hopefully be a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me as I've been studying it as well. But thankfulness is easy when life is pleasant, when things are going good. But often feels sometimes impossible when life is painful. Most of us have no trouble being grateful when prayers are being answered, when needs are being met, and when life goes the way that we hoped that it would go. It's easy to be thankful then. But gratitude sometimes becomes far more difficult when life grows confusing or disappointing or overwhelming. And our natural response in hardship is not thanksgiving, but frustration, fear, and discouragement. However, Scripture does not treat gratitude as a suggestion. Paul gives a clear command, in everything give thanks. A few years ago, a young Christian couple named Mark and Sarah were driving home from a weekend trip when their car suddenly broke down on a rural highway in the middle of nowhere. They didn't have any cell service. It was getting dark, and they were miles from the nearest town. They sat in silence for a few minutes, each feeling the pressure rise. Money was tight. The repair would not be cheap. And the situation was frustrating, inconvenient, and honestly, a little frightening. And Sarah reached into her bag, pulled out a small spiral notebook, and said something that caught Mark off guard. She said, "Well, this isn't good, but let's write down what we can thank God for." And Mark looked at her like she was crazy. But Sarah quietly opened the notebook and wrote the first line, "We're safe." Then she turned to him and said, "Your turn." He sighed and said, "Well, at least we're together." And she wrote it down. A few minutes later, she added, "Well, the sky is really beautiful right now." And he added, "We still have food in the cooler." As they kept going, something changed. Their fear faded. Their frustration softened. And their hope lifted. And about 20 minutes later, an old farmer pulled up in an old truck, saw their situation, and immediately offered to help. Being in the middle of the night, he offered to tow their car to his barn, gave them a place to stay, and fed them supper, introduced them to a mechanic friend of theirs the next morning who fixed the issue for almost nothing. And when they got home, Sarah pulled that page from the notebook and stuck it on the refrigerator. And it became a quiet reminder that for many months to come, that gratitude does not remove the trouble, but it will invite God's peace into the middle of the trouble. Paul knew that same truth. In fact, the command to give thanks in everything, sits inside a cluster of rapid-fire commands that shape the Christian life. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Quench not the Spirit. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Gratitude is not an isolated virtue. It's part of a Spirit-filled lifestyle that lifts our eyes above our own circumstances and places them firmly on Christ. And this truth connects directly with last week's message from Psalms 103. David had led his heart instead of letting his heart lead him. And Paul now calls us to do the same, to choose gratitude because we trust the one who holds every circumstance in his hands. Amen? So let's look at this today. First of all, the first thing I want you to see is, number one, it is a clear command for gratitude. A clear command for gratitude. To understand gratitude correctly, we really need to begin where Paul begins, by seeing it as a command from God, a choice of the heart, and a discipline that has to be practiced every day. And so we see, first of all, letter A, gratitude is required, not optional. Letter A, gratitude is required, not optional. And Paul gives no loopholes. He gives no exceptions. In everything, give thanks. It's not presented as a suggestion to consider. It's a command to obey. And Charles Spurgeon once said, when joy and prayer are married, their firstborn child is gratitude. When joy and prayer are married, their firstborn child is gratitude. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His prayer shall continually be in my mouth. Teaching that God deserves praise regardless of our circumstances. Amen? And this means gratitude is not based on what we feel at the moment, but it's on what we know about the character of God. Life may change, but God's goodness never does. And a grateful heart begins with the settled conviction that God is worthy of thanks even when life is not easy. God is always worthy of that thanks. A.W. Pink, a commentator and pastor, wrote, faith endures as seeing him who is invisible. Sometimes we can't see God's hand. He is invisible in his working in our lives many times. But faith endures as if we could see it. He's reminding us that gratitude flows from trust, not from convenience, not from circumstance. And that brings us to the second principle, letter B. Gratitude must be intentional. Gratitude must be intentional. We don't drift into thanksgiving naturally. That's not the way the human mind works. Amen? And left to ourselves, we often drift towards worry, discouragement, and even complaining. And Job 1:21 shows that trust can lead the heart even in pain. And applying by reminding us that gratitude is possible even when understanding is not, even when we can't understand what's going on, we can still be grateful. Job 1:21 tells us, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you know the situation, the story of Job, everything was taken from him. His health, his children, his wealth, his everything was destroyed in one day. And even in those worst days, Job still chose to bless the name of the Lord. There's a story given by Bible commentator Matthew Henry, born many years ago. He wrote in his journal after being robbed one day. He wrote, I thank thee first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my money, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Amen? What a great outlook to a horrible situation. His gratitude did not come from the event, but from how he chose to see God in the event. Gratitude must be intentional, because a heart will not choose it on its own. If we wait for perfect circumstances, we will seldom obey this command. And then thirdly, we need to understand, thirdly, letter C, gratitude must be immediate. Gratitude must be immediate. Paul doesn't say, give thanks once the problem is resolved. He doesn't say that. He says, in all things, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Right in the middle of the difficulty. Gratitude cannot be postponed until life feels easier. It has to be practiced in the real time. By the way, for it to have any benefit to you, it needs to be practiced immediately. Amen? And he commands, in everything, give thanks. Now, obedience begins now. Amen? We often tell our children, delayed obedience is disobedience. Okay? If I tell them to do something and they don't do it right away, they are disobeying. Okay? And so that delayed obedience is disobedience. Sometimes I'll say it, obedience, is, and I have them repeat it. They can quote it to me now. In fact, they often do back to me when I start to say it. But the obedience is doing what I say, when I say it, with the right heart attitude. If you don't have all three of those, it's not true obedience. And that applies to us as well, amen? Obedience needs to be immediate. And we need to obey God by being grateful even when we don't feel it. Gratitude is not a feeling, it's an action, a choice. And the longer we wait to thank God, the more we'll give room for fear, for bitterness to grow, and for frustration to fill our hearts. And the moment we choose to thank God, even in confusion, we open the door for his peace to steady us and to peace to come in our hearts. I have in your notes listed some practical ideas for living out this point. I wanted to focus in on practicality during this sermon series and some ideas that they can do. And I'll be honest, I asked the internet for some of these suggestions, okay? Because I'm not smart enough to always come up with these things on my own. And so I have to be reminded. But so your pastor's not that smart. But anyways, smart enough to go find it. And some practical ideas to live out this point, a clear command for gratitude. Number one, when frustration rises, pause and whisper, Lord, thank you that you're with me in this moment. Just pause and thank him. Thank someone every day, whether it's your spouse, a coworker, a volunteer, a child. To train your heart towards gratitude, find someone to thank every single day. Number three, when facing something unpleasant, thank God for one thing he's doing through it. Even it's simply teaching you patience and reminding you to pray. Amen? Every situation, we can find something to be thankful for. All right, so we see that Scripture gives us a clear command. Gratitude is required, intentional and immediate. But Paul doesn't stop there. He also shows us the context where gratitude needs to take place. Not just in the easy moments, not just in the answered prayers, but in all things. And that leads us to our second truth. Number two, a constant context for gratitude. What is the context in which we are to be grateful? And the truth is that Paul does not allow us to limit gratitude to pleasant or predictable or the comfortable. He writes, in all things. Not as burdensome requirement, but as an invitation to see the hand of God where we would normally overlook it. I remember when I was a kid, I've talked about this before, my mom had cross-stitched, she did a lot of cross-stitch, and she had cross-stitched a precious moments scene of a little boy with an ice cream cone, and it was only a cone in his hand because the ice cream ball, or scoop, had fallen on the ground and a dog was licking it. And that cross-stitch was there, and underneath it says, in everything give thanks, or I think it's something about count your blessings or something like that, I can't remember what it said, but it's basically the idea of in everything give thanks. That made a lasting impression on my life because I remember walking past that in my room and thinking, how could you be thankful when your ice cream falls on the ground? How could that be possible? And I would ponder that and think that through. And by the way, put scripture on your walls, especially if you have children. Make them ponder things like that, amen, and think through those things. But it taught me early to find things to be thankful for in every situation. So he writes, in all things, not as a burden but as something that was going to help you, something that's going to invite God's hand to work. It's meant to accompany us in moments that we feel confused, heavy moments or disappointing moments, and to help us bring peace into our lives during those moments. It's in those places where gratitude becomes its strongest witness of faith. So we see, first of all, letter A, gratitude and suffering. Gratitude and suffering. Suffering has a way of narrowing our vision. And pain makes us focus on what hurts instead of who helps. Ends up getting our eyes off of Christ. But Paul's instruction to give thanks in all things pushes our eyes upward. Gets our eyes back on Christ. And I didn't ask permission to use this illustration, so I apologize, Emma, if I embarrass you. But I was very blessed this week to see Emma in the hospital. And her reaction between the nurses and her graciousness and her kindness, even when she was in pain. And many times the comments were made, you're so sweet, or they would call her sweetness. And, you know, as they come in and stuff. And I was so grateful for her attitude during all of this trial. So I apologize if I embarrass you. I usually ask permission before I do that. So I'll ask forgiveness instead of permission this time. But pain has a tendency to focus us on the hurt rather than God. But God wants us to get his focus on him so that he can help us during the pain. He doesn't say we need to thank God for the tragedy itself. Okay? God, thank you for this car wreck. That's not what he's talking about. Okay? He's telling us to thank God in the middle of it. Find what God has done and what he is doing. Thank you, Lord, that I was not seriously hurt during this accident. Thank you that no one else was hurt during this accident. Thank you that this gives me an opportunity to witness to this other person. Thank you that it gives me an opportunity to focus on you instead of what I'm going to do, but rather see how what you're going to do in this situation. Romans 8:28, it anchors us by teaching that God weaves all things, even painful things, into his purpose for good. He reminds us of what we already know. He says, in verse 28, and we know, he's reminding us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God can work things out to be good. Now, does that mean that the bad situations are good? No, of course not. But he can work things out to become good in the situation or have good in the situation. Have you ever heard of Johnny Erickson Tada? She became paralyzed at 17 years old during a diving accident. She later said, God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. He hates when people get hurt. He doesn't want bad things to happen to people. But sometimes he permits it because he wants to accomplish something through it in the lives of those that experience it. But her gratitude didn't come from the accident, but from knowing that God had not abandoned her because of it. And God has used Joni Extrantada, her grateful spirit, to encourage believers across the globe. Instead of allowing bitterness to define her, she chose gratitude. And God transformed her suffering into a ministry that has brought hope, dignity, and the gospel to countless people with disabilities. And through Johnny and friends, her radio programs, her conferences, and worldwide outreach teams, her influence now stretches into 50 nations, providing wheelchairs to those in need and training churches on how to help those with disabilities, equipping families to help, and sharing Christ with people who have never heard the gospel. Many lives have been changed because of her ministry, simply because she chose to be grateful during a tragic situation. Her life shows that gratitude doesn't erase hardship. God didn't heal her and cause her to walk again or full function of her arms. Instead, he taught her how to use other parts of herself to be a blessing. She's an incredible artist, even though she cannot use her arms very well. She puts a paintbrush in her mouth and paints beautiful flowers and landscapes and things like that. Some of her work is pretty amazing considering she's using her mouth. She's written many books to help people. And gratitude and suffering is not pretending the pain is small. It's okay to feel the pain. It's not to pretend that it doesn't matter. It's believing that God is still big. And so we begin to have, secondly, letter B, gratitude and sovereignty. Not only gratitude and suffering, but gratitude and sovereignty. There are moments in life when nothing makes sense to us, but everything is fully known to God. He knows what's going on from the beginning to the end. And this is where gratitude becomes a declaration that God is in control, even when we're not. Amen? Joseph told his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." His brothers sold him into slavery. They were jealous of the favoritism showed to him by his dad. And they sold him into slavery. He went to Egypt, and what they meant for evil, God had a plan all along. When famine came, he had given him the wisdom to make preparations in Egypt to save many thousands of people's lives during the famine, and even his own family, the nation of Israel, that would come after them. God can redeem the very things that others intend to harm us. Our gratitude doesn't rely on understanding the situation. It relies on trusting God who governs the situation. Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "When you cannot trace his hand, you must trust his heart. When you can't see what God is doing, you can trust his character. Trust who he is and that he is going to work it out for good." We might say, when you can't see what God is doing, trust in who God is. And gratitude and sovereignty means choosing to believe that God is working in places where our eyes see only confusion. And gratitude will help us see the invisible threads of God's providence woven into the fabric of our daily life. Seeing God's hand gives us confidence, but there's still a different kind of difficulty where gratitude needs to be trained, and that is the slow, grinding struggles of life. So we see letter C, gratitude in struggle. Gratitude in struggle. Some burdens are not dramatic. Some burdens are daily. The chronic pain, the ongoing tension in relationships, the discouragement of unanswered prayers, the weariness that creeps in through long seasons. Yet it's precisely there where gratitude becomes a spiritual lifeline. When we choose gratitude in the grind of life, we create space for God's strength to sustain us. Hebrews 13:5 declares, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Paul's the writer of Hebrews is assuring us that God is faithful and faithfully present even when the struggling continues. No matter what's going on, learn to be content in that situation. Why? Because God is there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Oftentimes, the smallest moments, sunlight through a window, kindness from a friend, strength given to make it through a day, those things become clearest reminders of God's faithfulness if we'll look and watch for them. And gratitude and struggle does not remove the burden, but it keeps the burden from removing our joy. Some practical ideas for living this out. When facing suffering, identify one aspect of God's character to thank him for: his presence, his strength, his understanding, his promises. Second, when life feels out of control, pray a prayer that begins with, "Lord, I trust you with," and name the specific situation. I mentioned last week that our brain is very powerful. It believes what we say. And when we're constantly saying negative things or untrusting things, we're going to believe them. But when we turn it around and begin to speak the truth that God's word reveals, it retrains our mind. The Bible talks about the renewing of our mind. We become more like Christ. And so we speak out loud, "Lord, I trust you with this situation." This last week, I've had to say numerous times, "Lord, I trust you with my daughter and her health." And God has worked that out. When we feel anxious, just pause deeply. This is the third one. When we feel anxious, pause and breathe deeply while whispering, thank you, Lord, that you are here, right here with me right now. When all you can know is just the truth of God's word and the reminder that he is here, whether we feel him, whether we see him, whether we see him working, we know because his word tells us he's there. And that will help us. When we learn to give thanks, not only when life is easy, but also in suffering, sovereignty, and struggle, we discover something really profound. And gratitude is not just a response to circumstances. It's a revelation of God's will for our hearts. So number three, we see a confident cause for gratitude. A confident cause for gratitude. He says, for this is the will of God. And these words lift gratitude out of the realm of personal preference and anchors it firmly in the heart of God's plan for every believer. This is the will of God for my life, that I give thanks in everything. Because God desires those very things for his children, he commands gratitude not to restrict us, but to bless us. So we see letter A, first of all, gratitude aligns us with God's purpose. Gratitude aligns us with God's purpose. Every believer wants to know God's will. Yet here, God reveals his will clearly. Give thanks in everything. And gratitude realigns us with the heart of God, because a thankful spirit sees life through the lens of God's goodness. He's always good. Psalms 104:4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The psalmist is reminding us that thankfulness helps us to recall what God has already done. And when we practice gratitude, we place ourselves in agreement with God's purposes instead of fighting against them. You ever find yourself fighting against what God wants to get done? I have. But when we're grateful, it helps align us to his will. And the more we thank him, the more we understand his will. And when our hearts align with God's will, God's purpose, something else begins to happen deep within us. We see letter B. Gratitude guards us from bitterness. Gratitude guards us from bitterness. Where gratitude grows, bitterness dies. A thankless heart becomes fertile ground for resentment, for self-pity, for unbelief. But gratitude uproots bitterness before it can take hold. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. That word careful is the word literally translates to anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And Paul's teaching us to bring our requests with thanksgiving, telling us and reminding us that prayer without gratitude leads to anxiety, but prayer wrapped in gratitude, the next verse tells us, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart, shall keep you from becoming more anxious. Corrie Ten Boom, a survivor of the German atrocities in World War II. Corrie Ten Boom once said, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And she knew about pits and concentration camps and the death of her own family around her. She said, there's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And that truth applies by reminding us that gratitude is not a denial of pain. We're not denying that pain exists, but it's a declaration that God is bigger than our pain. Amen? Ingratitude darkens the heart, but gratitude guards the heart. It keeps us watchful, humble, and hopeful. And when bitterness knocks on the door, gratitude answers instead. Amen? And blocks the way to enter. A guarded heart becomes a shining heart. And that leads us to one more outcome of gratitude. Letter C. Gratitude gives us a testimony. Gratitude gives us a testimony. A thankful Christian stands out in a world filled with complaint, fear, and frustration. Gratitude becomes one of the clearest ways others see the difference Christ makes in us. Gratitude becomes a testimony because it reveals where our hope is lying. It declares that our confidence is not in a paycheck, not in a doctor's report, not in a political outcome, or our own strength. It's built on the foundation of the faithfulness of God. And people notice when a believer remains thankful in a crisis. They listen differently. They wonder why. And gratitude becomes a silent sermon pointing other people to Christ. Some practical ideas here for living out this point here. When disappointment hits, when something comes and you're disappointed in what happened, pause and say, Lord, guard my heart. Before bitterness can take root, ask the Lord to guard your heart from bitterness and disappointment. When someone asks how you're doing, include one thing that you're thanking God for as part of your response. You know, how many times do people ask, how are you doing? Every once in a while, you get a real answer. You know, most of the time we're like, I'm fine. I'm guilty of it too. But how about instead if we say, you know, the Lord is helping me, but you know, I'm really thankful the Lord did this for me. When we do that, it becomes a clear testimony to people around us. And it reminds them of how good God is. Amen? Number three, during discouragement, open your Bible to a psalm and underline every expression of gratitude in that psalm. You'll see how many times the Bible talks about gratitude. And when we understand that gratitude aligns us with God's purpose and it guards our heart from bitterness and it gives us a testimony before a watching world, we begin to see why this is God's will for us. But Paul goes a little further. He roots this command in the deepest motivation of all, our relationship with Christ himself. So number four, a Christ-centered confidence for gratitude. It'll come up here. There we go. A Christ-centered confidence for gratitude. Paul roots this command in Christ when he says, in Christ Jesus concerning you. Without Christ, this command would feel impossible. Amen? In Christ, gratitude becomes both possible but joyful. So first of all, letter A, Christ makes gratitude possible. Christ makes gratitude possible. In Christ, we find forgiveness that removes our guilt. It strengthens what could be weakness. It carries our weakness for us. And it gives us hope that outlives the suffering we're going through. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul had gone through some amazing trials when he wrote this. And yet his answer was to bless God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He noticed and he took stock of all the things that God was doing for him in the midst of shipwreck, in the midst of beatings, in the midst of turmoil and struggles. He saw God's hand working. So this tells us that gratitude begins with salvation, not with situations. Amen? Because we are saved, because we are Christ's, we can have that stability and that foundation to be grateful. In Christ, we're eternally loved, fully accepted, and we're forever secure in him. That right there is enough to be thankful. Amen? A grateful heart flows from remembering what Christ has done for us more than what life is doing around us. So we see, secondly, Christ models gratitude. Christ makes gratitude possible, but secondly, Christ models gratitude. Before feeding the 5,000, he lifted his eyes and gave thanks over a small lunch. Most would look at that and say, this will never work, you know. But Jesus knew God, amen, the Father. And he knew what they could do together. And so he gave thanks for what God did provide. And God worked a miracle. Before raising Lazarus, he thanked the Father, even while surrounded with grief. He stopped and thanked God. Before going to the cross, he sang a hymn with his disciples, choosing gratitude even though he was walking towards suffering. He knew fully what he was walking into. Jesus showed that gratitude is possible in every season because it rests in the Father, not in the moment. His gratitude and sorrow teaches us how to trust God in our suffering. Then letter C, we see Christ strengthens gratitude within us. He makes gratitude possible. He models that gratitude for us. And he strengthens that gratitude within us through his work in the Holy Spirit. What Christ models, his Spirit empowers. Amen? He doesn't leave us to force gratitude out of sheer willpower. Facing a bad situation, we say, I'm going to be grateful anyways, you know? That's not where true gratitude comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And the Spirit within us produces the very attitudes that Paul commands. Rejoicing, praying, giving thanks. Galatians reminds us that joy is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of perfect circumstances. Amen? And we can be joyful no matter what we're facing. As we walk with Christ, gratitude becomes increasingly natural because His Spirit reshapes our perspective. He shapes how we look at the situations that God brings in our lives or allows in our lives. Some practical steps or practical ideas for living out this point. Number one, begin each day by thanking Christ specifically for one blessing of salvation. One aspect of what that means for your life today. Number two, when facing pressure, meditate on one truth about who Christ is. Meditate on it throughout the day. Pick something. He is our shepherd. He's our savior. He's our friend. He's our sustainer. He's many, many things. Amen? Focus on one thing a day and meditate throughout the day on what the Bible says about that and what that means to you personally in your life. Number three, write out a short prayer of gratitude for the cross and read it whenever your heart feels unsteady. Just thank Him. Be thankful. When Christ becomes the center of our gratitude, thanksgiving grows out not from our circumstances, but from our relationship with Christ. You know, giving thanks in all things does not mean pretending that everything in life is good. It means trusting that God is good even when life is not. Gratitude becomes that lens that brings God's faithfulness back into focus. When Mark and Sarah sat in their broken down car on that dark highway, nothing about their situation was easy. Nothing had changed at that point except this. They chose to look for God's hand instead of for fear. One small step of gratitude softened their frustrations, lifted their hearts, and opened their eyes to God who was already working behind the scenes. He already had that farmer on his way, but they just didn't know it. Gratitude didn't fix the car, but gratitude prepared their hearts for the help that God was about to send. Amen? And that may be exactly where someone in this room is this morning. Your car may be broken down. I have a car that's broken down. Your heart may be tired. Your circumstances may not make sense at this moment. But God is not asking you to thank Him for the pain. He's inviting you to trust Him in the pain. Maybe your faith has been smothered by disappointment. The Lord is inviting you to take one small step this morning. The same step Mark and Sarah took. Simply say, Lord, thank you that you're here with me. What is the circumstance you need to thank God in? Not for, in. What burden have you been carrying alone, needlessly? What fear have you allowed to direct your heart more than Christ directing your heart? God is not asking you to figure everything out. He's asking you to trust Him. He's asking you to believe that His will, His strength, His presence is enough. Be content, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, the invitation is simple to you. Lay that situation before Christ today. Come to Christ and thank Him for His presence in the midst of the storm you're walking through. Trust Him that the things that you don't understand, I don't understand what's happening here, but God, I'm going to trust you. And this morning, take that first step towards peace by taking the first step towards gratitude. Because Christ is present. And Christ is faithful. And Christ is enough. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this passage. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And Father, help us to give to you our discouragements, our pain, our suffering, our struggles. We can trust you. And we know that you will work all things to be good in our lives and for the good of our lives in the end. We pray that you'd be with us now today as we go our separate ways. Be with us. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing one verse of invitation. I